Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of LifePoint Church. For more information, visit our website on www.davidhall.com.au.
I want what we speak and preach and believe backed up with the power of God and miracles. And when people who are sick come in, I believe that God wants to heal them and set them free by the grace of God. Does anyone agree with what I'm saying here? Just sort of getting this started. It's good to see you tonight. John chapter 11. And I'm going to just read a little bit of this and then we'll get into the body of the story. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany," verse 1, "the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Now, before I go any further, it is important to know that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they were kind of like Jesus' besties. They weren't his disciples. They were just Jesus' mates. They were his friends. And it says here, therefore, verse 3, "The sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said," and I love this, he said, "'This sickness is not unto death.'" And I just want to let you know that in the beginning of this message, it's important to understand that once God has declared a thing to be so, that thing is so. So if he says this is not unto death, then it's not unto death. Even though we know the story of Lazarus, he dies. But apparently the word of Jesus still prevails even beyond what we can understand. I know I'm yelling. I've been yelling all day. I'll try and tone it back. And the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. That's very nice of Jesus, isn't it, really? Jesus, your best friend's sick. No worries. I'm deeply moved, but I'm just going to hang here for two. I'm going to extend my trip just to really create a bit more worry. I don't know why he would do that. Why would Jesus, his best friend's crook, and they're saying, "Come and pray." I mean, I'm a pastor. Someone has an ingrown toenail, I get a phone call and I got to go and pray. Jesus, he's there and going, "You know what, I'm going to stay a bit longer." Now, you've got to understand that there is a challenge right here in Jesus, because Jesus was I don't want to use the word hybrid, but he was, that's a modern day term for what we call incarnation. And that has nothing to do with anything floral. Incarnation means that he was fully God, completely God, and completely man. But what he did when he came to earth was he laid aside the benefits of being God and functioned just like you and I function on this planet. However, he understood the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. And so he did supernatural things by the Spirit of God, the same as we can. But he extended his trip. And it's pretty crazy when we hear the story of Jesus extending his trip when he could have gone, but he obviously had a bigger plan. And that was a tension, because probably the human in Jesus wanted to go and be there with his friends, but Jesus, the Son of God, knew there was a bigger purpose in it. And one of the accounts, it's the shortest scripture in the Bible, when Lazarus actually dies, we know the Bible says that Jesus wept. It says here in verse 17, "Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away." And he says, so when Jesus came, he found he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So now he's been dead for 4 days. "Bethany was near Jerusalem, and many of the Jews joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.'" Now, she goes on again in verse 32. She says again, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. And so we see this story, and we'll go on in just a minute, and I'll read a little bit more, but it's quite a powerful story. Jesus says this is not unto death. So can I say, it's so important when we're going through problems and facing challenges, we've got to look for the word of God in our challenge and see what God is saying and say, Lord, and hold on to that. You can hold on to a word from God. And so he makes it plain, and but he stays a few more days, and it just sort of seems like God's just not coming through. And you know, sometimes as believers, it can seem like God isn't coming through. And as Christians, God isn't coming through, and we can get discouraged and almost feel like what seems to be God's no is just God's not yet. And I'm not saying in every moment of every time, but sometimes when we feel like the most dire of things are happening, we're the closest to a miracle that we've ever been. Does anyone believe that tonight? And so the story goes on to say that Martha and Mary are all upset. And so Martha says to Jesus, this is the same Martha that would be in the kitchen cooking while Mary was in the presence of the Lord. Martha was fairly pragmatic. She was the one doing all the work. She probably didn't spend enough time in the presence of Jesus under the anointing of God, but she was faithful and she was awesome. But she says, if you had been here, in verse 21, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And then she says, he said, well, he's going to rise again. She said, yes, in the resurrection to come. It is amazing to me that there are people, there are Christians, and I can be like this, and I'm sure you can. We're really good with past faith. You know, well, if only this had worked out to be that way. If only, you know, God had come through, you know, if only we didn't make that business deal, if only I didn't date that person, or if only I hadn't made this decision, if only, and we almost have enough faith that if we could go back in time and change some things, well, circumstances would be good. Or we have future faith where it's like, well, maybe one day he'll rise in the resurrection, and you know, maybe God can sort it out in the days to come, but right now I'm miserable. Right now life's against me. Right now I feel like giving up. And the truth is that we're good with past faith, and we can be good with future faith. But Hebrews 11 says this. He says, now, Paul writes, now faith is. In other words, faith is something we need to have for today and right now and believe God. I know this is kind of, you hear faith messages over and over, and after a while you just think it's jackpot Christianity. You pull the lever and just God will just give us whatever we want. That's not how God works. But he does say to us to be people of faith. People who believe that God is who he says he is. People who believe the promises of God are true, and he says, look, you think he's going to rise in the resurrection, in the resurrection. He says, I want you to know, I am the resurrection. I am. When Jesus says I am, supernatural things happen, you know. I am. When I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Sometimes we got to realize that when dreams are dead, he is the resurrection and the life. And sometimes we complain to this very person. We should be just saying, we trust you and hold on, and we know you're able. But let's not be people who spend all our time looking back going, if only. Yeah. Or we look so far ahead and go, well, maybe. Let's go, you know what, right now, because the Bible says in that day, there's going to be a day where we stand before God. And often we can think in terms of that day, that what are we doing this day? Right. To see something happen in that day. Right. What are we doing now for tomorrow? I've got faith for tomorrow, but I've got faith for today, because I believe my faith today in God and by his grace is what gives us a hope for tomorrow, is faith in God, and believing God is who he says he is. I want to have now faith. He didn't say, I will be the resurrection of the life, or I was the resurrection of life. He said, I am right now. Now faith is now faith. In a now God. Does anyone believe what I'm saying? I just want to build your faith, because I think often the struggles of life happen, and we can forget to be people of faith who still believe that God is for us. And Paul said, if God is for us. And then people, I guess when you read the scripture, you put your own tone into what's being said. But if you can understand Paul when he's writing that, if God be for us, who can be against? It's almost like Paul saying, if God be for us, who? Come on. What? Yeah. What could? Really? Yeah. Who? Yeah. Like a demon or something? Really? Yeah. God's for us. So who cares what's against us? God's for us. And you know, I think it's important for us to actually remember that God is for you. Because sometimes I think we think God's like just this angry hater in heaven going, you know what, I'm just going to take you out and ruin your life. That's not God. God is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, and he's a good God, and he loves us. And so I guess tonight I just really felt the Holy Spirit put in my heart to speak a message of faith and to build our faith. And I've got four thoughts, but before I go into them, I just want to read a little bit more of this story, if you're happy. And let's keep in chapter 11, verse 38. It says this, that then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's a powerful passage right there. I think sometimes our believer just dies. We stop believing. You know, I've been in church my whole life. I've been hurt in church. I've been hurt by circumstance. I've been discouraged. I feel like giving up. But sometimes I think it's good to read this stuff, and God just reminds, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? David said, I would have despaired unless I believed I'd see the glory of God. And he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. The dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes. His face was wrapped in cloth. That would have been a sight, you know that. Literally, the guys, when you think of a mummy in cartoons, that's what you're talking about. That's how they used to prepare these guys. He's like full mummy coming out. It would have been fantastic. And it would have been fantastic. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did, and then they wanted to kill him. I want to give you four principles from this story about now faith, about faith in today. And can I just say this? To my knowledge, I think I've done it sort of accidentally very few times, and I don't prepare my messages in like successive same letters because I just can't do that. Some can. I try, and then they don't make any grammatical sense, and it's a problem. But tonight, my message, there are R's. We're going to bring a bit of a pirate anointing for the service tonight, and we're going to believe that it's still going to work. But I want to give you four faith principles for having now faith in today. When trouble comes, here's some things in this story that I believe were significant in unlocking the miracle power of God. Does anyone believe in miracles in the house? Does anyone? I believe that God is who he says he is. I believe he backs up his word and he makes a way. And so I want to give you four things. The first thing, and it's the first principle for being people of faith. And it's just remove. We need to remove some stuff. And in this case, the barrier between the miracle happening and it being in their reality was a big stone that Jesus said, roll away. Most theologians would believe that Lazarus had been resurrected before Jesus said, roll away the stone. I don't know if that's true, but let's just consider that for a minute. I'm not making a generalization. It's just a thought. Lazarus potentially was alive. Your miracle could be alive in your world right now, but there's just a few things that maybe things we need to push past, whether that's unbelief or whether that's fear or whether that's some discouragement or whether there's some stuff in your heart that may just be stopping you from possessing the promises of God. And he says, roll away the stone. And I don't know what it is in your world right now. I feel like in my life, I'm waiting for God's blessing to come and holding on to God's word and praying and trusting him. And sometimes a miracle is just within our reach, and we don't necessarily always understand that. If you read the book of Acts chapter 12, it's quite a fascinating story, because in Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison And he's chained between four squads of four soldiers. And the Bible says, supernaturally, the gates opened, the chains fell off, and Peter walks out of the prison. And if you read that story, you'll also read that at the same time, the church were gathered praying. And the Bible says when he got out of prison, they're still praying at Mary's house. The Bible says that after a little bit of thought and prayer, he starts to walk over to Mary's house. Isn't it amazing? They are praying for something, and it already has happened, and it's on its way to the house. Then Rhoda, the servant, opens the door, or the gate, gets so shocked at the sight of Peter that she shuts it back in his face and walks inside and says, Peter's at the door. You know, sometimes I feel like the blessing of God is right there and we just don't even believe, because maybe sometimes we've got an idea that God's against us or whatever. Again, he's not a jackpot God who just gives us whatever we want, but he is a good God and he knows what we have need of. And if we would maybe remove barriers in our heart, maybe there's just a hardness in our heart towards the things of God. I don't know. There's just, in a room like this, people are in all sorts of stages in their world. But what I do know is God loves us. He has a plan for us. He wants to help us. And there's blessing in our world in the name of Jesus. I have a good friend of mine. His name, maybe I won't say his name because you'll understand now. But he used to be on staff in our church and from New Zealand. And good friend of mine, And he and his wife moved to a certain part of the North Island, New Zealand, and they planted a church, and they did really well. They got the church up to about 50 people, and God was really blessing it. And he had this father-in-law, and the father-in-law, and in no way do I want to be unkind, but the father-in-law kind of always knew a bit better. And just always had a better idea. I'm sure you've met some of those people, Pastor Keith, pastoring churches. None of them in this church. This church, very humble people. But this guy's father-in-law would just do his own thing and kind of just draw people to himself. And one morning, he was a driver that would pick up four or five people for church. And one morning he said to the guys, you know what, I feel God telling me we don't need to go to church today. So he just took them to breakfast. And this is a church that's just getting started and everyone needs to be there. And so these guys never came to church. And Joel's like saying to his father-in-law, what are you doing? You got to help build the church. You're just not taking people. And so I was just, did I say his name? Bob, Neil. Neil was facing a challenge. So I said, John, Bob, Phil, Clary, Ben, Horatio was doing a great job, good church. And so, did I say Noel? His name's Noel. We'll just cut the name out of the podcast. It doesn't matter. So Joel, he's my friend. Joel's my friend. So Joel, he's ringing me up during this time going, this guy's driving me crazy. He's just doing his own thing. And then eventually what happened was the father-in-law just split that church right down the middle and this little church died in this town. And God had spoken to Noel and Mara and said to them that you need to go and plant a church in this city in New Zealand. And so their hearts were absolutely devastated. And I remember talking them through it and being their friend. And it was a tough time. And I don't know about you, but when I see churches get damaged because people are just got their own thing, you know, I understand that people have their own vision, but I'm a bit of a believer. This is my belief when it comes to church issues. When those two mothers came to Solomon and said, hey, this is my kid. Solomon says, all right, let's chop the baby in half. The actual mother says, no, just let her have the baby. And then the pretend mother was fine, let's chop the baby. And I really do believe that whenever there's a church challenge, let's always make sure that beyond the pastor, beyond the person who wants to have opportunity, let's always make sure the well-being of the baby is always put above the well-being of ourselves. Because the church isn't here to serve a man of God. The man of God's here to serve the people and love the church. I never want to see a baby get cut. And so when I hear that story, see the father-in-law cutting the baby, I was sad for him. And to be honest with you, for like maybe 18 months, There was a whole feeling like we'd followed God and look what happened. And then I get a phone call out of the blue from this other pastor. And he rings me up and he says, hey, I want to retire from my church. And he said, Pastor Danny Guglielmucci has told me to call you to ask about this couple. He says, you know them, and what are your thoughts on this couple? And he goes on to tell me he's got a church of about 300 people with its own building in the same city, right near where that church was. And he said to me, what do you think? I said, I think this is the Holy Ghost. So this guy, these are your people. They feel called here, and they had a crazy father-in-law, has wrecked everything. And you know, they've taken this church. Already it's really started to increase in a big way. A lot of the older guys that got disconnected have come back into the life of this church. And it's almost like if he had just finished at that moment, he would have thought, you know what? The dream's dead. The thing's over. It's finito. But can I tell you, when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, when he breathes on your stuff, you say, are you trying to motivate me? Yes, I am trying to motivate you, because some of you got stuff in your heart and the devil kneecapped you, you know, and just took you out of it, out of having a passion for the bigness of what God has. I've come to remind you that he is the resurrection and the life. And I feel like I'm preaching okay, you know, just 6 out of 10. But I watch my friends, I see them now flourishing, having an impact. Now I'm a bit annoyed because I think the church is bigger than mine, and now I want them to just be humbled, and you know. But here's the deal. Sometimes you need to remove some stuff. In their case, their old dream had to die. The miracle was walking around. They never knew that while they were grieving, that church was still growing. God's hand was on this new church. Little did they know that there was a church in the oven baking, just ready for them to come in. They've come in and that thing is exploding. Why? Because when God says this is not unto death, he said, go and plant a church in that city in New Zealand. They went and planted a church and it died. And they thought, did I miss God? God had already spoken. But his plan was so much, they couldn't have even dreamed of what God would do. And that's the nature of God. Some of your stuff's died. But I'm believing that God can breathe on it again. He is the resurrection and the life. Oh, I feel like there's people here. You're single right now, and maybe you had a great relationship. Maybe you've been married in the past. I don't know. But you just feel like, hey, you know, it was good back then, if only back then. I just feel like God's saying he's the resurrection and the life, and he can breathe on your stuff and do something great by the Spirit of God. I'm kind of preaching myself a bit happy. I was already happy, Ari. I was in a pretty good mood. But now I feel really happy, because I just feel like maybe God's talking to me and saying, you know, God can do something in our world by the Spirit of God. The second thing is firstly, he said, roll away the stone, remove the stone. So they remove some stuff. And then with a loud voice, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus responded to the voice of God. I believe there is power in responding to when God speaks. I love the fact that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. If he had just said, come forth, he would have emptied the whole cemetery that day, because all he has to do is speak and the rapture would have happened. It would have been on like Donkey Kong. But here's the thing I do want to tell you, and that is, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he responded to the word of God. Can I tell you, when God speaks to you, and he does, he speaks through his word, he speaks to your heart. Listen to the small things that God says. I've always believed that sometimes God might go, you know, there's just not a peace. That sense of, you know, don't go down that road. I feel like if we just keep going down that road when God says, sometimes there's bigger things he wants to speak to us, and we've lost our ability to hear from heaven. And I just pray that as the people of God, we'd be still sensitive to the whispers of God, and when he speaks to our heart and he speaks to our life. And I want to respond to what God says. I felt like, it's just a little thing, I won't say what it is, but I felt the Holy Spirit spoke to me about a step of faith that I need to take today. And it's just a step of faith in Donna, my own personal life. Nothing to do with church, just something that I really feel like God's told me to do. And I get to go home tonight and tell Donna, I really believe God's spoken to us. But I've learned the little things that God says, you listen to them, and then God opens a bigger world. And it sounds cliche, and you guys all know I'm not into gimmicky kind of preaching. I don't like it, because I don't think it's got power. I like preaching that's true, but this is the Bible. And if Jesus says come forth, if he says, maybe, you know, you got plans tonight, cancel them, spend some time praying, seeking God, do it, because he's saying come forth. You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience, and you don't know what's on the other side of what God's saying. Maybe he's telling you to lay down a relationship. If you're married, too bad, but if you're not married, you can lay it down. And the problem is, when I say God says you can lay down relationships, I hate it when Donna says amen while I'm saying that. I'm like, shh, stop it. But here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you. Listen to God. Right. Listen to God. Respond to his word. Because you can stand on the word of God. Again, I've been thinking about all of my dad's old messages today. I remember one day he said, you know, Peter never walked on water. Never walked on water. I'm like, well, he did walk on. No, he didn't walk on water. Said, well, what did he do then? He said he walked on a word from God. And you can step out on one word from God. If God speaks and says, hey, maybe this is not for you, you just listen to God and say, okay, God, I trust you. Trust Jesus because he's good and he's for you. Respond. We got to respond. I'm going to keep moving. I won't dwell on that too much longer. Number three, there's a release. Jesus says in verse 44, loose him and let him go. He was not exactly dressed for being alive. He was more wearing the dead kind of clothing. And he basically, I don't even know if he had eye holes. I think they just put them in for effect in the cartoons because you don't need them when you're not alive. So he was just bandaged from head to toe. He looked like a skinny Michelin man, I would imagine, something like that. And he comes out, but he can't stay in that place. His arms are bound. I don't know. I imagine he would have had to hop out, and it would have been a very difficult thing. And Jesus says, get him out of those clothes. Get him out of those grave clothes. And you got to take him off. There's a bit of ADD, but there's a service that's quite famous that I've seen on video. Poor woman. She had a battery pack on her microphone, and she was preaching, talking about Lazarus's grave clothes. And she says, you've just got to take him off. And as she swung her arm, I don't know what happened, but the gravity of the battery pack took her dress and skirt, and boom, straight to the floor. So she just pulled it back up and kept going. But if you see the video shot, one of the pastors literally rolls out of his seat in hysterical laughter. It was the funniest video. I've said, please let me put that on YouTube because that would go fully viral. But he said that was irrelevant. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. What's the stuff that's got us a bit bound, you know? Maybe it's just some good old-fashioned sin gets you bound. It'll get you bound. Maybe it's attitude, it's offense. Maybe it's bitterness in your heart. I don't know what it is. I try so hard, and I'm not perfect. And sometimes I can get cranky and it stays with me for a little while, but I do try and let it go. Because I just don't believe that as a Christian, seasoning God, that I can live offended or I can live bitter or I can live... I just got to say, you know what? I don't want to be bound by unforgiveness. I don't want to be bound by attitude. I've got plenty of things that I could have an attitude about. Oh, my list is awesome. It's massive. You can have an attitude about everything. But here's the thing. If you say, God, I'm going to travel light because I don't want to be cynical. I don't want to just be lost in stuff. I want to travel light and not be bound. And you know, God says this guy, and it sounds corny, but he says, basically, he needs a wardrobe change. He's not dressed for life. He's dressed for death. Get those grave clothes off him and get something of life on him. What does he say? He said, Jesus often talked about a dress change. He says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. And you know, how many know the story of blind Bartimaeus? He's begging on the roadside, and the Bible says he took off his begging cloak. One translation does. So he took off his begging clothes. Basically, when you were a beggar in Bible times, you were given a certain outfit that was basically your permit to beg legally, and he says, take it off. And you know something? He took it off because he thought, you know something? He had so much faith that he's believing God for a miracle. He doesn't need that anymore because there's a miracle coming. And I really do believe that there's things that bind us. It's just, we're not in a space where we're believing God anymore. We may be feeling like giving up, but God says, you know something? Just get free from that stuff. Get unbound. Get free by the grace of God. Loose him and let him go. You know, maybe there's people in your world that you're a bit mad at. You've got a grudge. Loose him. Let it go. Oh, well, I'm annoyed at this person. Let it go. Well, you don't know what this person's settled up. Let it go. Because I think about all the things that I've said in my time. If people just hated me for the things I did, you know, I feel like if I want grace extended to me, I've got to keep extending grace to other people. And just let it go. Don't be bound. Don't be a bound Christian. A bound Christian, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Grumpy Christian, it's an oxymoron. How can you be grumpy and then Jesus is on the inside of your heart? He says, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians, singing to one another in Psalms, in spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. You need to run around singing to people. making a melody in your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Be full of light of Jesus. As Rachel said on Church News, shine the light of Jesus. And it's one of the most powerful things I've heard in Church News all week. It's ministered to my soul. Number four, and I'm done. And Samunga, if you can come, we need some manipulation music just to close the service. It just sounds more spiritual. You believe me now. Before you're like, yeah, he's full of it. Now it's like, oh, that sounds fair. Number four, verse 45 says, many Jews saw this and believed in him. I was wanting to kill him. But there was a revealing of the power of God. We need to let the power of God be revealed in our life, in the world around us, world around and about us, and seeing the glory of God flow and touch hearts and touch lives in the name of Jesus. And we serve a good God. That's my message. It's pretty simple, but I just felt like as I was coming to Adelaide today from being in Melbourne, I felt the Holy Spirit just prompt me to pray for a couple of things. And I just wondered if we could just stand before we close service. We're not going to go much longer at all. But I just want to pray for a couple of needs tonight, because I believe that God wants to just do some miracles and bring some healing. And I just felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and say, you need to pray for people tonight that are dealing with asthma. You're dealing with asthma. I don't think I've really prayed for that too much in church, but who is that tonight? You'd say, I got asthma. Give me this. Well, fantastic. We'll pray. And I didn't know that. Really? You sing pretty good for an asthmatic. Believe God for something to happen, healing in people's bodies. And we're going to pray. Can we just pray? We're just going to have a bit of time praying, believing God. Father, you are a healer. And God, for those tonight that are dealing with asthma in their body, Father, I just pray, let the healing power of God touch them. God, you are the Lord that heals us, and you restore and you make a way where there is no way. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray right now that those that are dealing with that, Lord, let them be made whole by the power of God. And we believe it. We speak it. We declare it in Jesus' name, that you are the Lord that heals us. And Father, we believe it. We lay a hold of it by faith. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let miracles happen for the glory of God. And Father, we give you praise that would just be dealt with by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the healing power of God in this place. If you need physical healing tonight, maybe you're just sick in your body, whatever it is. And I want to talk to those tonight that it's been so long that you don't even remember to put your hand up. You've just decided to live with it. And maybe it's just been the same pain you've had in your body, or whatever the case may be. Let me ask you a question. Do people believe the Bible here when they say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He is. What he did then, he can do now. And so we just ask him by faith and believe God that something's going to happen. But maybe you need a healing in your body and you've just gone, you know what, it's not a big enough deal. I'll just leave it to the Lord. I really do believe that God wants to heal. If that's you, just raise your hands where you are. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. Supernatural should be natural. And we're going to believe God. Steve, your back can be made whole by the power of God. We've got to keep believing for that. Lord God, in this place, Lord, whatever it is, whether it's back pain, skin conditions, God, heart problems, Lord, problems in circulation, God, whatever it may be, God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you by faith. Lord, we ask you, believing that nothing's impossible, let the healing power of God fill this house. Lord, I thank you all over this house that we're going to hear testimonies of the healing power of Jesus. And God, for couples who are believing to have kids, and at this point it seems impossible, Lord God, I just pray for fertility to come and life to be produced in people's worlds. And God, we thank you that you are a healer. You make a way where there is no way. And Father God, right now, let the healing power of heaven just flow in this house. Touch Edo right now with the power of God. Lord, heal and restore. Make a way where there is no way. We ask it and we believe for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the power of heaven. I just feel like there's some parents here or siblings or even kids, and you've got immediate family and they're away from God, and you're really believing that God's going to do something and turn things around by the power of God. I can tell you, I'm living in that space. I've got people I'm believing for in my family to get right with God and lay a hold of him. And maybe you're in this place tonight and you say, David, whether it's a brother, it's a sister, it's your mum, or it's your dad, or it's your son, it's your daughter, it doesn't matter. But I just want to lift him up to the Lord tonight and pray, because again, sometimes we just learn to deal with it. We learn to live with it and go, you know, it just is what it is. do you know something? We've got to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, devil, you can't have them. They're going to serve God. They will serve God. Because we're going to spend eternity in heaven with these people. And I'm believing God for families right now that God's going to do something. And you can add grandkids to the list if you want to. But let's believe God. If you can think of someone in your world, you don't have to lift your hands. But why don't we just lift our hands? And as I'm praying, you know who they are. Just even under your breath, speak their name. It might be weird if you say it too loud and they're sitting next to you. And so, Father God, for mums and dads, for sons and daughters, grandma, grandpa, or whoever the case may be, Lord, your word says that all your children be taught of the Lord and great will be the peace thereof. And Father God, we just pray for our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our mums, our dads, whoever it is, God, we just right now speak their name. We declare that, Lord, you can turn things around. Lord, that the enemy won't have them, God, that the plan of darkness will not prevail. And God, you will reign supreme and save them by your grace and set them free and deliver them from the plan of the enemy. And Lord God, we believe it right now in Jesus' name and declare that something good is going to happen. In the name of Jesus, we speak it. We speak it by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just for a minute, just let's lift our hands. I just sense the presence of God's in the house. And the touch of God to me is the most important thing ever in our church. If there's that just touch from heaven, let's take a minute and say, God, touch my life. Father, fill every person just with a fresh anointing from heaven. God, I thank you that you're still in the business of touching hearts and touching lives and restoring that which the enemy wants to take from us. And Father, I pray, touch people. Lord, fill people.